Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, commenting on six capitals, six points of view. The warfighting capitals, Moscow, Kiev, Brussels, D.C., and to a certain extent, China, in that it's lent its weight, its credibility, its rage for Moscow. But now we come to Berlin. It is neither this nor that. And the concern I have is not about the war fighting, the Bakhmut offensive or defensive, the front lines, the tanks, but about the future, the immediate future, the winter of 24, the winter of 25. Counting on mild winters is not a plan. And beyond that, about the resources that Europe will need to sustain its prosperity, and also make certain that the governments are transparent, liberal democracies, and don't lead towards autocracies, which is a possible result of depression or recession or contraction or joblessness. Possible result. Not always. I'm not making a rule here. Professor Berlin. Berlin looks to the future and looks for energy resources. It's made accommodation with some coal fields. It's made a combination with natural gas. It's made a combination with nuclear energy, keeping its three remaining plants open. It's building renewables as fast as it can imagine, but it has limits on what can be done by 24, by 25, by 26. Berlin represents to me the chief manufacturing and banking capital of Europe. Is it in a position now to continue the Ukraine support and also deal with an unknown future of energy resources in light of its need to be virtuous with regard to climate change? All those factors together.
Well, that's a huge question. I think that the answer is that German behavior since last February, when Mr. Scholz announced that Germany was going to rearm, they had sort of gotten serious. They realized that the dependence for gas on Russia that Mrs. Merkel had promoted for 20 years, they had really come around. In fact, there's been no follow-up on that. So when I look at Germany, I say to myself, this is a Germany which has a weak government. It's, after all, a coalition of three different parties. And it isn't really, it's so involved in political discussion. And it finds the current situation so unwelcome. They're accustomed to having a very high standard of living and having their defense needs completely taken care of by NATO, which is to say by the United States. They find this new world into which they've been thrust very uncongenial. And the result is that if we look at where, say, the German military is now, not to mention their planning on energy, they're just busy having political, political posturing, but they don't have clear plans. I found the refusal yesterday at the Rammstein meeting about the Leopard tanks, and their defense minister, Mr. Pistorius, said that maybe in a year they might be able to have some Leopard tanks ready, but right now they all had to be cleaned up and they weren't really in very good condition. And furthermore, he wanted the United States to replace the German tanks with American Abrams tanks, which are so difficult to maintain and so big and heavy and complicated that and furthermore, none of the other countries that are wanting to donate tanks to Ukraine, they're, none of them are saying, well, we won't give them unless you give us the very most state-of-the-art U.S. tanks. So it's the first point I would make is that it is stunning to me how strategically blind the Germans seem to be. Don't they understand that if Russia wins and defeats the best effort of the West to keep Ukraine free of Russian domination, in line with the UN and in line with the Budapest Memorandum, which Russia, in fact, signed, as did we and a number of other countries, don't they understand that if Russia wins, then Germany is in peril? They are in direct peril. They can't just assume that the Poles are going to keep the Russians at bay. And it seems to me that they really are not awake. As you were saying, are we at war? Well, the United States is more at war than Germany is, but there's a similar kind of denial almost in the higher reaches of government of how important this war is. This war is, after all, about the critical place, which in Europe, which is the kind of the junction or the seam or the frontier between the former Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and then the emerging Russian state. This is a very, very sensitive place, and we should be paying attention to it. Now, what's perhaps even more stunning to me than the sort of the complacency or the fecklessness of the German policy, although I don't want to pick on the Germans. I think our government is not doing any better really than Germany is, although our Pentagon is doing better than theirs. What has been revealed is the utter decrepitude of the German military. We were told, I have seen, and many of us have seen, German tanks from World War II, designed by Ferdinand Porsche, who, in addition to being a genius at designing fast cars and all the rest, he was a really good Nazi. He was a really serious Nazi. He helped design the V1. He designed very advanced tanks. And if you see some of these World War II tanks parts, they are awesome. They're awe-inspiring. They're beautiful, and they are, in some sense, evil. They emanate a sense of evil. But if you see an American Sherman tank parked next to it, it's just a pathetic joke. The German tanks are so much better. And now we're being told by the Germans not only that they can't get 100 Leopard tanks ready, this is Germany, but that they want American tanks instead of German tanks. I find that stunning. It's as if I were told that the French no longer made wine, but they were importing it from California, or that they didn't make cheese. I mean, of course the Germans know how to make tanks. Anybody in the world knows how to do it. But the problem is that they have a government which right now is at odds with itself, and they have no consensus in the population about what the future Germany is going to be, because the Germany of the Wirtschaftswunder and no war, that has been overtaken by events. Now, Der Spiegel, which is a left-wing German magazine out of Hamburg, and it is it's by far the biggest circulation of any European magazine, and they've been doing some investigation of the actual state of the German armed forces. And the only part of the German armed forces that really passes is the Navy. But the Navy has very limited tasks. Germany is, after all, a land power. Overwhelmingly, she is a land power. But she has got 12 ships, sort of destroyer size, and she's got 6 submarines. Now, Japan's got a much bigger Navy than that. And Japan is, in fact, bigger than Germany, both in area and in population. But if you look at the other, leave out the Navy, 12 ships aren't going to make much of a difference, and 6 submarines, they're not going to make much of a difference either way. If you look at the cuts that Germany carried out in her defenses after 1991, they are quite astonishing. I mentioned that they're very dodgy on issues of human rights. I mentioned what I think is appalling, the supply of diesel propulsion for Chinese submarines. This endangers the U.S. Navy, but they've also gone soft on human rights. We see this in their now quite unwelcoming to Chinese dissidents. And Ai Weiwei, who's a very famous Chinese dissident, has just departed. The dissident community that used to be welcomed in Germany is now living. Now, what about other parts of their military? They recently had an exercise in which 18 of their Puma infantry fighting vehicles were involved, and every single one of those 18 broke down. There is a terrible problem with maintenance and keeping stuff operative. Last February, Mr. Scholz announced a major military buildup. He made Christine Lamprecht the Minister of Defense. She has just resigned, and Boris Pistorius, who's the man who said no at Rammstein yesterday, is now the Minister of Defense. But Mr. Scholz is talking about $100 billion, about raising the military budget. In fact, the Bundestag has capped German military spending at $50 billion a year for the next 4 years. I don't know how we say this. I'm just going to give you the figures, but I would say that Scholz, the Germans, the leadership, when it comes to military affairs, they're all hat and no cattle. They've got a total of 300 tanks. They've got 6 submarines, 12 naval ships, 230 obsolete aircraft, and they're about a 50% level of readiness. However, they do expect to have new uniforms and helmets by the year 2025. Now, this is really astonishing in a world that's as dangerous as today's world is. And I think Germany has got to somehow find the place where she should be, which is she should be self-sufficient when it comes to security and energy and all of these things. She should not be dependent as a free rider on the United States. But on the other hand, she shouldn't get carried away as she has repeatedly in the past. And this is one of the things about German history that one discovers, which is that the line is never straight. There is constant internal struggle, and that continues, and it is damaging NATO right now. Having said that, I'd say that NATO doesn't have a future. What we have to do is look for a new alliance system for the West, which would include NATO countries. It would also include Australia and various others. And this is what our people in Washington should be working on full time. But this is all treated as if somehow it's just going to be self-actualizing. It's very, very discouraging, because as anyone will tell you, what counts in a company, what counts in a sports team, what counts in a war, above all, is leadership. Remember that the Germans surrendered in 1806 at the Battle of Auerstadt because there was a rumor that Napoleon was in charge. He was in personal command of the French. So the Germans surrendered. Well, Napoleon wasn't even there. But just the fact that they thought Napoleon was in command on the other side was enough to lead them. I believe it was Auerstadt. So that was enough to lead them to surrender. Not the finest day in German military history, but it bespeaks a fundamental truth. What we're really missing in this whole picture that we've just been surveying, we're missing clear-eyed, determined, prudent leadership, principled and prudent.
Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, commenting on 6 capitals very generously, 6 points of view here at midwinter, with the Ukraine conflict in stalemate, apparently, with doubts about NATO arming Ukraine into the spring, apparently, and with questions unanswered about the future energy resources for our European allies, and promise of a recession soon enough. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Bravo, Arthur. Bravo.
Well, thank you very much. God, was that discouraging.
Well,
I'll, The research was discouraging, too.